You're listening to WAUK 540 AM and 101 FM, The Shaw.
Welcome back, everybody. It's Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Brian, that's Luke, and you just heard my daughter. It's her 10th birthday. Happy birthday, Darby.
Happy birthday, Darby.
Get back in school if you're listening right now.
or just close the Devil Radio app, keep that one earphone in, and stay tuned.
Yeah, you know the fourth graders. They're totally into this show. They can follow all of the tangents very easily. They have a very short attention span like we do.
Right, just like we do. Some say I do have a fourth grader's attention span.
Yep.
And I blame Twitter. It's all Twitter's fault.
You know what? I'm very excited I get to go to the place that has the best buttered noodles in the entire world. It is a chain restaurant that rhymes with Gallop Martin. I'm very excited because they have also the best breadsticks that have ever been, from what I understand.
Mass-produced.
The ravings of a wonderful, wonderful 10-year-old and her friends. We're going to have a great time, I promise you. You're listening, like she said, you're listening to us on WAUK 540 AM and 101 FM, The Shaw, as well as in Madison.
You're also listening to us on Devil Radio, 92.7 FM, WTTN 1580 AM out of Columbus. And Brian, so we were talking campaign ads. That was one of them. And kind of segueing back, we got a second one here that is released. And it is also an ad relevant to this last week because one of the other state Senate candidates that is in the race, State Treasurer Sarah Godlewski, who is running to, in the same primary Tom Nelson is, to challenge Senator Ron Johnson in that primary later this year, or excuse me, that would be the general later this year. But Sarah Godlewski also dropped a new ad in the last couple days. Last week, after this draft opinion leaked from the Supreme Court, Sarah was in D.C. and she was at the Supreme Court at protests for this leaked opinion. And so I also want to share this one, too, because it also gets back to the main story that we're going to be talking about for the coming weeks. And I also got an update about the Madison investigation here. Sean Barnes did give an update a little bit earlier and going to share that with you as well. But up first, we got the Sarah Godlewski ad.
I'm at the Supreme Court where it looks like Ron Johnson is going to get exactly what he wants. Overturning Roe v. Wade, reinstating Wisconsin's cruel abortion ban, and putting doctors in jail. But that's not what Wisconsinites want. We don't want politicians making healthcare choices for women. I'm Sarah Godlewski, and I approve this message because as your senator, I will never sit by and allow our rights to be stripped away. Join me. Let's fight back and defeat Ron Johnson.
So a little bit of a different tack from Sarah Godlewski, Brian, because she's going straight at, she's not attacking primary opponents on this one, because I believe everybody running in the Democratic primary is pretty rightfully upset about this draft opinion. But she's slamming Ron Johnson on this exactly because he took the same tack that a lot of Republicans around the nation took last week and said, oh, the leaker, we need to find the leaker. We got to get after who leaked this. It's an insane degradation of the trust in the Supreme Court. We need to find the leaker. And oh yeah, Roe v. Wade, we'll let the states handle that. And didn't really mention
Now that you mention it, yeah. It's not that bad. Oh, okay.
Well, and very much took in the tact of it's going to be a state's issue. And it's not, but we got to find the leaker, Brian, is what he was talking about last week.
They all want the leaker to be found. And I'd like to know who that is too.
It does. Yeah. I mean,
it'd be interesting. But it's not the meat of the whole situation.
It's not. Well, it could be the meat of the whole situation if it actually comes out to be one of the people that is seems to be circling around. Because Brian, outside, so we had this incident here in Madison, and I want to give this update, and then we'll get back. We're going to go down this tangent real quick, and we'll get back to the national conversation.
Yeah, it's a tangent from earlier, and we got to go an update.
Right. And so this story breaking here in Madison, the Madison police giving a press conference earlier today. Sean Barnes, and not a whole lot of information yet, but a key factor is important, though. So this is a quote from Madison Police Chief Sean Barnes earlier today, within the last 30 minutes or so. We are investigating the fruits of hate and violence in the form of an arson investigation where a specific nonprofit group was targeted for their beliefs regarding the issue of abortion. In the news conference, he's saying that no arrests have been made and there is currently not a suspect in custody. So no arrests, no suspects in custody, but they are investigating this arson. They are already classifying it as an arson. Obviously, the fire was involved, and they know that that aspect happened of the crime. Whether or not these vandals will be caught is still to be determined, but it's going to be interesting to see, Brian, because one of the things that has been kind of talked about now is we've already had major gubernatorial candidates, including Rebecca Clayfish, Kevin Nicholson, and I believe Tim Michaels. I haven't seen anything from the Rantham camp today, but also I didn't go looking specifically for that one.
If it's crazy, you know Rantham's there.
Well, but these major candidates are already circulating that, this is the left. This is the work of the left-wing radicals that are doing this violence. And Brian, I just want to point out that if you wanted, obviously this was a political demonstration. This arson attack happened as a political demonstration. I do not condone that. It should not have happened. But if you wanted to, say, make a statement with ensuring minimum casualties or any harm done to people, I believe an overnight attack on an office building that was probably presumed to be empty was probably the way to do that. But it's also really telling that these candidates are coming out and condemning the attack on property more than they're condemning a 50-year legal opinion that is about to be overturned for no other reason than five Supreme Court justices wanting to overturn it and taking away a woman's ability to have autonomy over her body. The condemnation of violence perpetrated against property, say like an office building, should never be more up in arms about property damage than somebody having rights stripped away from them. And I guess that's my major takeaway from. I'm curious to know if Madison police is going to be able to apprehend whoever did this vandalism. But it's just telling to me that that is where the discourse is right now.
Well, yeah. Okay, fine. I'll lean into it. I'll play your game. I'll say, all right, this is a left wing crazy person. I don't want anyone to do this. If you're a left wing or right wing crazy person, or you're going to go and do something like this, don't do it. It's stupid, and there are better ways to make your same point, as well as disrupt things without burning things and or doing graffiti. That being said, I'll play your game. I'll say, okay, fine. This is a left-wing extremist. Do you want to go tit for tat with right-wing extremists? Because there's a longer list there. I don't understand why you have to go and label this a left-wing or right-wing extremist. This is an extremist or an idiot. Whatever you want to. Either way, it's a bad thing to do.
And it gets me back to the reason why I wanted to have this tangent, Brian, because there's a quote in the Cap Times piece from Applin, who is the director of this group that was attacked at Wisconsin Family. I'm sorry, I lost it at the top here. Wisconsin Family Action, yeah. The conservative organization. And she has a quote in here, and it's pretty insane. This is her quote. "I've been doing this for 25 years. A lot of people disagree with me on a lot of issues, and I disagree with them. But I've not broken into their office. I've not threatened them bodily. I've not threatened their families or anything like that. We disagree. It's okay. We should be able to put our positions out publicly." But it completely ignores the fact that groups like this did not even come out and condemn the firebombing of the Planned Parenthood clinic in Appleton, Wisconsin, in the state that they are doing this work on the issue that they're discussing. They didn't come out and condemn that violence. And when the violence is happening against the people that they disagree, they're silent. And Lieutenant Governor at the time, Lieutenant Governor Rebecca Clayfish, didn't condemn the attack either then, but she is all up in arms now to condemn the attacks. And that is very telling. Because if you show that you are just politically motivated by saying it's bad when other side does it, but when our side does things like this, we're silent.
Pretty much. That's what I was saying, man. I mean, you want to go tit for tat? Okay, fine. This is a lefty crazy person. There's your Appleton one. What's your next? You don't have? Okay. You'll run out of things before we do. But I don't want to. It doesn't matter. It does not matter. That discourse. That's not discourse. This isn't talking about the issues. This isn't figuring things out. This is that. Let's take some phone calls and then let's go see what Greg in Madison has to say. How you doing, Greg?
Hey guys. With a little less than a year left in Obama's term, Scalia died, and Traitor Mitchie McConnell wouldn't bring it to the floor to vote on it. He said he wanted the people to decide. And then with about 2 weeks to go in Trump's in office, he rushed through a Supreme Court justice. So he got two, you know, Obama would have put more of a liberal in there. And so my question to you is this, what McConnell did, is this have any, how much bearing does it have on this right now? Because he broke precedent. That was, you know, that was a year left, and he wouldn't bring it. He wanted the people to decide.
Well, you can directly blame him for pretty much the entire thing.
I would say, I would think, Greg, that this is almost a straight line from Mitch McConnell refusing to seat that third Obama Supreme Court justice to where we are now. Right. Because without that seat, you don't get Gorsuch on the court. It's not right. Gorsuch isn't the first one. You have Merrick Garland instead on the U.S. Supreme Court.
Right.
But if you keep the precedent, then Biden already has appointed, like, will be appointing his second justice.
But I don't hear this talked about. I don't hear this on talk shows. No one says boo about it. And it's a huge deal.
It's mostly because you can't do anything about it, and that's the problem. But people need to know their history, their recent history, why this has happened. But again,
I got another question for you.
Please.
Do you think they should appoint Biden should appoint maybe four more justices?
I've seen proposals about it, Greg. And one of the interesting aspects of if you want to call it Supreme Court justice reform, is that historically the United States has always had the same amount of Supreme Court justices. The reason they bumped it up to nine was because at the time we had nine appellate circuits. So now we have 13 appellate circuits, but we still only have nine justices on the Supreme Court, because each justice helps oversee the lower cases, the court cases that are going through the lower courts, and usually it's a one-to-one ratio, but we don't have that right now. So making a case for adding four Supreme Court justices is pretty compelling, in my opinion, because there's historical evidence that that's the way you could do it. But whether or not the legislators at the federal level, because that's what it would take. It would take an act of Congress to be able to make that change.
Which would mean we'd have to win this next election pretty darn handily.
Well, yeah, you'd have to have quite a few senators in favor of that, because I think if Kristen Sinema isn't a fan of increasing the minimum wage to $15 an hour, and Senator Manchin isn't a fan of, you know, expanding the child tax credit and making that a permanent change, I have a feeling they're not going to have the appetite for something like court reform. But excellent question. We appreciate your call, Greg. You can be like Greg. Give us a call, 844-967-2789. Yeah. Folks, you are listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. Got one more segment left of the day. Plenty of time for your phone calls. And Brian?
If you're going to do that, if you're going to go and do something like increase the amount of, because that's the thing that Mitch McConnell or kept on asking about Ketanji Brown Jackson. I worried about her packing the court. She's bored of packing the court. Like, she has anything to do with it. But he's worried about increasing the amount of justices. And my point is, if you're going to do that, you better be prepared to go all in on this, because that's escalating to a point of conflict where the bully who's been slapping you around gets hit back in the face. And when that happens, you better be prepared for the consequences. And I'm not saying don't do it. I'm just saying, do you have the stomach to escalate this in that way?
Well, and I'm saying,
you know what I mean?
You'd also got to make sure that the candidates running in your primaries, like say for U.S. Senate, agree in that position. So you got to ask them about things like that. Folks, this is Dueling Tangents. We got one more segment left in the day. We'll be right back.